what do virtual tape libraries give us and what are they? Well, a virtual tape library is like a disk array with a personality problem. It's basically a disk array, whether it be SATA or ATA, or it could even be enterprise disk. And you have, on top of this, normally a Linux server, which is like a management server or a management node. So it can slice and dice a set of disks in an array so that TSM or any other backup product can think it's actually a tape library. And you can actually do all the normal commands that TSM can normally do on a normal tape library, like checking in tapes, scratching tapes, and all the other things, a reclamation and all the other tape-related commands. And TSM thinks it's just a normal tape library. Well, that's great. Obviously, one of the main things you can do is that means you don't have to wait for tape mounts or any of that type of stuff. And if you have enough capacity, obviously, things like Iron Mountain, maybe, if you have two data centers, go out of the window, because then you can start doing electronic vaulting. The problem is with that, virtual tape libraries are probably about four times the cost of a tape library. And as IBM have offered more and more capacity on the tape drives, such as the latest TS range of the Jaguar tape drives, and you can get maybe a terabyte or more onto a tape at about over 100 megabytes a second. We've actually found that disk is the bottleneck for tape now, which is great, because all these years all the disk storage guys have been telling us that tapes are very slow. It's actually not the case anymore. So virtual tape on their own compared to a normal tape library, it's really not, you know, all that much. Where the advantage does come in, and I think Steve talked about this before, was the deduplication. So deduplication means that today, if IBM send us all the presentations that we've seen and sat through today, and maybe two or three of us work for the same company, on our file and print server, we're going to have this presentation many, many times. So what VTLs can do, and again, you know, there are many players in the market, they can take the data. Some of them do inline deduplication, and some of them do deduplication after the fact. Can look at the data and say, actually, I've got this BrianJohnson.ppt, so I don't need to keep it again. So it'll back it up once and put pointers to the original backup. Not only that, it will actually do what's called like a block level analysis. So even if the blocks are the same, maybe there's another PowerPoint presentation, let's say very similar with, you know, headers and footers that are exactly the same. All those blocks are exactly the same. So again, it actually goes down to a subfile level. So at a block level, we can deduplicate millions and millions of blocks. So the great advantage of a VTL, whichever product you choose, is the fact that, you know, A, you're going to save space. B, you know, you're going to deduplicate in one fell swoop all this data that you've been holding on physical tapes for years and years and years. IBM recently have also looked at the long-term backup or the archive world, and they've come out with the HD frame. And I don't know whether any of you remember the Ted Rogers show when it was 3-2-1. I can't do it. You'll have to practice yourselves. What they do now is they can give you a tape library frame, whereas normally, traditionally, you'd have one row of tapes either side in a tape library frame. They have a number of frames. And with the enhanced gripper, as they call it, tapes that are not used for a long amount of time can be placed in the second or third row of the frame. So therefore, really, you're doing some kind of HSM, whereas your frequently used tapes are pushed to the front of the tape library frame. The less frequently used are pushed to the back end. So there's probably going to be a mix here going forward. Virtual tape libraries for short-term backups. In Deutsche Bank, we have a policy of most backups, file and print and what have you, are 32 days. But obviously, things where an application needs to keep a set of data for longer, physical tape libraries are probably better, because we're not going to be using that data on a daily basis. It's like similar to an old, if you remember the mainframe days, an HSM or hierarchical storage manager implementation. So in Deutsche Bank, as I said before, we have hubs, regions, and branches, and we needed a product that we could would be robust, would be reliable, and also that we could centrally manage. So with TSM, what you can do, there's another product which bolts onto TSM called the Admin Center. So from one pane of glass, you can actually see many TSM servers. So that means you can start doing centralized management rather than having 10 TSM servers in London as we do, and that means 10 TSM administrators. You don't need to do that because with other TSM associated software, you can have, as I say, one pane of glass, and guys, administrators can manage many TSM instances at the same time. We needed a product to be robust, obviously being a bank, if there's a disaster recovery, and certainly with the example I'll give later, you know, TSM has more than proved the fact that it is robust. And we also, being a bank and also having lots of acquisitions throughout the years, we needed to support all the applications and all the platforms that we have in Deutsche Bank. Most of our TSM servers are on AIX, but we do have some Solaris and Windows. Our file and print has recently gone over to NetApp, and our VMware estate is sort of growing very quickly at the moment. And then we've got the usual applications, which are on Oracle, Sybase, SQL. And at the moment, our mail product is Lotus Notes, but we're moving to Exchange soon. So we needed all those things, and we looked and we actually implemented NetBackup for a couple of years, which is a very, very good product. But we found that, you know, when you start to put pressure on a TSM server against a NetBackup server, for example, having, say, 100 or 200 TSM clients backing up to a centrally managed TSM server, it performed much better than any of the other products. As you can see, we have to also ensure that after 9/11, and now that the SEC have been very, very strict, especially in our US branch, and I think recently you probably know some of these, the Asia-Pac banks went into a lot of problems. And as you can see there, just a sort of lighthearted view of one or two of things that happened. We actually have a team in the US who now do nothing but restore data from our mail servers in the UK and the US 24/7 because of either SEC inquiries or some compliance investigation or inquiries. So we needed a product that was very robust and could give us the ability to be able to do this in the background but carry on and provide the day-to-day, you know, backup service that we have to provide. Okay, so we do have some duplicate slides. So in 1999, I was lucky enough to, my wife's American, so I was able to go out to San Antonio in Texas. And I was going to say before when I was looking outside, and it was much better weather than this, but it sort of seemed to spoil it a bit, really. But I worked out in San Antonio, and then me and my wife and my daughter went out there. My son was born out there, so he's a Texas cowboy now. And even though he's only 9, and I think it's important to have a life plan for your son. He doesn't really know it yet, but what he's going to do is go to university over here, go and then be a Dallas cowboy, earn $25 million a year, and buy mummy and daddy a big ranch in Dallas. It's fantastic. I think it's really important to have that plan. But basically, after I left IBM in February 2001, I joined Deutsche Bank and worked at the World Trade Center. And the World Trade Center actually was a very nice place to work. It was like a small city within a city. As you came in underground from New Jersey on the path or the subway, there were restaurants, cinemas, bars, and lots of shopping, of course. And you never had to in winter when, you know, there was 2 feet of snow outside. You never had to go outside. When summer came around in 2001, funny enough, IBM, I'm talking about virtualization, they virtually ever bought us lunch, but they the week before 9/11 happened, on the Thursday, there used to be concerts on a Thursday, and I don't know whether any of you are old enough to remember some of the old pop groups in the UK, like Herman's Hermits and the Hollies. Well, there used to be concerts in the square, and this particular day, we were in the plaza there, and a guy was going from the North Tower to the South Tower with a trolley, and it obviously with steel cases on them, and he was pushing them, and he sort of came by us, and I said, excuse me, he said, what are they, like backup tapes? He said, actually, they are, yeah. And we got chatting, and basically every day, he worked for the Bank of New York, and every day he used to take the tapes, the backup tapes, from their primary site, which was World Trade Center 1, and put them in a safe, which was in World Trade Center 2. What's the worst that can ever happen? So, as far as Deutsche Bank was concerned, we had 10 TSM servers in Manhattan, opposite the World Trade Center site in 130 Liberty Street, just across the street from World Trade 2 or the South Tower. And we also had a data center across the Hudson River in Jersey City. So obviously, we all know the story of what happened. So on Tuesday, the 11th of September 2001, I went into work, just working normally, when the first plane went in about 20 to 9 in the morning. We were evacuated and then waited around in our office opposite World Trade 2. And the second plane went in, and where we were, the ceiling fell in, and we just got covered in dust and God knows what. At that particular point, we still had power in our data center, which was 36 stories up, and then we were evacuated from there. A few hours later, as you all know, World Trade 2 collapsed, and part of that fell on our data center, and we lost complete power. And since then, the building actually has been demolished. But from that time, we had no data center in New York. So as far as TSM is concerned, what we had was we had our primary tapes in our data center opposite World Trade 2, which were completely unusable. And also our TSM instances and all our data, TSM databases and recovery logs were completely, you know, gone. What we did in those days, we replicated the TSM database and log over to New Jersey. And because of the way that TSM works, by the following day, we were able to get the 10 TSM servers that we lost in New York restored and running in New Jersey. And at that particular stage, I think in about 2000, 2001, people used to use TSM or NetBackup or whatever backup product you had as the system recovery tool. Obviously, things have changed in a big way since then. And now in Deutsche Bank, as one example, TSM is only used as a file recovery tool. We use now EMC's SRDF or HDS's true copy or replication to replicate the important applications. And it's only for file level stuff or maybe a development or test server in some circumstances. we use TSM. So it's gone from being a system recovery tool to a file recovery tool. And I think, you know, that's probably as a consequence of 9/11. And just going back to the Bank of New York example, my wife and I had a checking or current account at the Bank of New York, and obviously they lost both their data centers that day. And what we had to do for 3 months from that time was go to the local branch, and the clerk had a great big ledger, and they'd go through and see how much you had in your bank account and either say yes or no that you could withdraw $50. And they went on like that for about 3 to 6 months. Miraculously, the weekend before, they'd been doing a DR exercise somewhere in New Jersey, and they did have some of their TSM tapes from the previous weekend, so they were able to bring up as a third party most of their banking applications. But they were out of business, or out of the game, as it were, for months. You know, and again, when you look at TSM and other backup products, disaster recovery is a very, very important subject, something that is out of scope for today, but certainly, you know, to have your primary and your secondary data centers within a couple of hundred yards of each other, especially, you know, World Trade 1 and 2, obviously didn't work for them. So as far as we were concerned, we had at that stage 2,000 servers to be restored, which we did over the next 2 or 3 months. And at the end of that, we found that our backup failures went down to less than 1% because people took backup seriously then. And since then, our backups or our backup failure rates have been very, very small. So where we're going now is we're going to go to TSM version 6, as I say, which has been out for maybe a couple of months now. The things that TSM gives us, which we don't have today, the TSM database is a proprietary database, very similar to DB2, but it doesn't give you all the capabilities. You can do some SQL select commands to get some information out, but TSM version 6 will give us full functionality for SQL select commands. It'll enable us to do archive logging. So really, it's a, as IBM call it, a hands-free DB2 database. And one of the things that TSM doesn't do too well these days is as the database grows and grows. And in Deutsche Bank, we at one time, we had the largest TSM database in the world at 500 gigabytes. We weren't able to defrag it without taking days and days out because basically you could dump the database and reload it. But with version 6, you'll be able to do a normal DB2 type defrag of the database. There's some NetApp improvements where TSM will be able to talk to the NetApp filers and take the snapshots as backups. What you have to do today is basically relinquish control to the NetApp filer, which does a NetApp dump command and then spits you the output. So TSM doesn't really have any control or management of what happens to the data that's backed up, you know, and how it's done. So there's some improvements there. Also, for those guys who've got Exchange, you'll be able to do some individual mailbox restores, whereas traditionally, whether you've used Lotus Notes or whether you've used Exchange, you've had to restore the whole mailbox when you had to get maybe one file or one email out of that. And also with Exchange, you can also relocate the restore to an alternate mail server. So that may be useful if you have compliance restores. You don't want to restore them all back into Fred Smith's mailbox because he's the guy that you're trying to investigate. Also, one of the things that is not on here, TSM, we talked about virtual tape libraries before. TSM will also be including data dedupe in the software. So that's, you know, somewhere maybe as an alternative to virtual tape libraries, you'll be able to do data dedupe in the software itself, which is, again, is another illustration of where backup or the backup software or the hardware is actually ahead of the game. Obviously, people like EMC and HDS are working on data deduplication and IBM, sorry, at the primary or the original copy. But, you know, that's to come yet. So there are various enhancements. There's some Active Directory improvements, such as being able to restore components of the Active Directory, more granularity. For those guys, we have a website at work, which is now on SharePoint. There's a new interface into that, so you're able to do more granular backups and restores. And obviously Windows 2008 support, which hasn't been there. And then also there are some enhancements to the APIs or the TDPs, typically call them, to various databases. We're seeing more applications now where maybe snapshot backups are becoming more prevalent. And IBM is introducing new flash copy functionality for their SVC products. Obviously, there are other products out there that use snapshots, such as HDS's Shadow Image or EMC's Snaps and Clones. And one last bad joke, obviously, with a clone, I think you always must remember that you're never alone with a clone. Well, there we go. And then as was talked about before by the guys, by Rick and Steve, IBM are introducing, or Tivoli introducing, support for XIV, which IBM acquired in the last couple of years. XIV was originally an Israeli company, and the lead guy there, Moshe, forgotten his name, was one of the guys who invented the EMC Symmetrics. And XIV was actually the, I think it was the, in the army, was his platoon or whatever, XIV standing for 14. Okay, so that's all I have. So basically, I suppose to summarize, you know, backup now is becoming more of an integrated product. We're seeing, as I say, you know, flash copy support, snapshot support, virtual tape libraries, deduplication in the backup product. So it's becoming more and more of a data protection product, and not just let's slap a few files onto a tape, and if we ever need to restore, we'll just go into the to the moth-eaten room at the back, blow the dust off, and restore a few tapes. So it's, as Steve and Rick said before, there are a number of products here that are starting to sort of bind together and react together in this whole big picture. And, you know, really, backup is just one of those products. So there we go. Thank you very much for your time.